The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk here on Tuesday, the 26th of February. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody.
It's lovely to see you. We've got two more fantastic guests to talk to you in the second half of the show. We've got loads of emails, tweets and things to read out. I'm going to kick off with something that's happening fairly soon, which is an International Women's Day event. And it's taking place on Friday, the 8th of March, from 9:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. And it's at the Port Lim Hotel and Reserve. That's at Aspinall's, Hythe in Kent. The Aspinall Foundation and Butterflies Events invites you to join us at the stunning Port Lim Hotel and Reserve in Hythe for an International Women's Day event with a difference. We have a panel of amazing women in business lined up ready to share their experiences and expertise with you. The panel members are Jane Michot, who is the Director of Fundraising at the Aspinall Foundation, Melanie Blythe, Head of UK Fleet Solutions at Shell, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who's the owner of Orchard Employment Law, Frankie Cont, who's the primate keeper at Port Lim, Lucy Whitmore, who's the Retail Partnership Director at Cardlytics, Emma Shaw, who's Managing Director of Esoteric and Counter Espionage Company. Well, you'll have a chance to have your say, ask your questions and discuss the topics that matter to you. And, of course, all the money being raised from this is going to Aspinall Foundation. And then part of it, a trip to Port Lim wouldn't be complete without experiencing the beauty of the park itself and meeting the animals. So there's a safari to go on first through the African and Asian experience. Listen, it's just tickets are just £45 each for a full day, all the activities and lunch. All the profits will go to the Aspinall Foundation. If you want to find out more or book your place, butterfliesevents.co.uk/IWD event. butterfliesevents.co.uk/IWD event. What you got, Martin?
We've got another Skills 3030 event coming up.
We have.
It's at Hillview, Tunbridge, on the 13th of March. Mm-hmm. We've also got another one at Haysbrook School, Tunbridge, on the 28th of March.
Fantastic.
So this is really the FSB helping bridge the gap between schools and businesses. And you get very involved in this program as well,
indeed,
so I guess
yeah.
You'll be going to both of these. Mm. But tell us a little bit about the kind of the format on the day and how it actually works in terms of that engagement.
Yeah, sure. Basically, we take up to 30 businesses into a school to talk to A-level students. The A-level students, it's only a morning, it's totally free. The A-level students get a workshop or two on how to present themselves, about the world of work, about careers, and about, you know, CVs, presentation, and things like that. Sometimes we have a presentation from LinkedIn, talking about the power of LinkedIn as a professional tool. And while they're doing that, the employers hear from me about the world of work and the job market as it exists, plus we often have different people talking about either employment and disability issues, apprenticeships, guilds, a range of issues that affect employers. And then everyone comes together for some networking. Mm. And the students get to talk to business owners about their aspirations, their desires and what they're intending to do. And the employers tell them what they're looking for in future employees. It's a good event.
And presumably you're always on the lookout for business owners to kind of step forward and volunteer for that.
Yeah, we do get a healthy take-up of it, but it's always nice to have new businesses come along and join in. It's only a couple of hours, totally free, and it pays because it never ceases to amaze me how many businesses come along, meet the students and then go, are we allowed to offer jobs? Because there's some really talented young people out there. And the interesting thing, over the years we've been doing this, the whole Generation Z, who are the people we're dealing with now, that's people entering the workforce who were born after the year 2000. So they're not 50 this year, Martin. They're much younger. Those people intrinsically now are foregoing university as an option. Back when we first used to ask, about 60% of any cohort were looking to go to university. Now it's less than 20%. The vast majority of them are looking to pursue apprenticeships.
Mm. Well, you read in the press every day, don't you, about the horror stories of student debt. And
yeah.
I think some of the universities are now going to be sort of going the other way with regard to tuition fees as well, aren't they? Mm. They're going to be kind of they've woken up to the fact that, you know, people don't want to be saddled with £30,000 worth of tuition fee debt before they've even paid for their living expenses.
Well, it's a huge amount of money without knowing you're going to get anything out the back end of it. I mean, we've got an apprentice in our office who's been with us now for a year, and it's a fabulous thing because she gets the time off to go and train, but she's trained to go and do her lessons, but she's training on the job and she's getting all that experience that you just wouldn't otherwise get, and she's not going to end up saddled with all that debt. I think it's a fabulous.
Absolutely. And of course, now, with a level 6 or level 7 apprenticeship, you can get a degree anyway, but you get paid to do it. University of Kent have opened a school of apprenticeship for the degree apprenticeship courses. So many other universities haven't adapted to this and are going to find it a struggle. They're going to find it a struggle to fill. We've got, without getting too political, we've got too many universities, basically. That's the problem. What you got, Martin?
Well, we've got a bit of a theme going here today, I think, in terms of litigation and kind of driving bulldozers through people's front doors to get paid.
He's in a stropping mood today, isn't he? He's in a right old stropping mood.
It's a full moon.
Yeah. Is that it? Okay.
So I've had a message from Adrian Dante at MHA McIntyre Hudson. So Adrian runs the corporate recovery team at MHA based in Maidstone, but he's all over Kent. And he's offering business owners who think their business might be showing signs of financial distress the opportunity to meet with him, spend an hour with him, talk to Adrian about their business and their potential issues, hopefully with a view to kind of nipping those problems in the bud early enough. And I'm sure you'd advocate, you know, put your hand up early rather than kind of leave it too late.
Yeah, and you've got to speak to the right people. A good insolvency practitioner or someone that does this is worth their weight in gold. I mean, Adrian's very good.
Exactly, thanks. And what Adrian's really there to do is, if you do contact him early enough, he can help restructure your business so that the worst case scenario never happens. So if you are a little bit concerned, perhaps you're seeing a downturn in terms of business sales, perhaps you are struggling to recoup money that's been owed to your business, do have a chat with Adrian. Do kind of make the most of that kind of hour that he will give you to kind of offer you some free advice there. And again, all of that information is on in the community page of Supply My Business.
Fantastic. It's back for another year, 2019, ZC Social Media, ZC Live. ZC Live is back on the 31st of May, 2019. The ZC team are super excited and have lined up an amazing agenda, which will be revealed over the coming weeks. You can reserve your free ticket by visiting eventbrite.co.uk/ZC Live 2019. It's going to take place at the Strood Academy again.
When?
On the 31st of May.
31st of May. Good. Okay.
It's a big event. I talking to Zoe about it, I think they've had 250 booked already.
Mm. Always popular.
A very popular event.
Good. Mm. Good luck with that, Zoe. Gold 17. So Goal 17 is an initiative that was started by Keith Mabbott, really. I think Fran Borman joined him.
They pulled the two things together, didn't they?
So we need to celebrate their recent Theo Perfitis. Mm-hmm. SBS, Small Business Sunday Business Award. They've also been shortlisted to the top three in the National Mentoring Awards. So Goal 17 is all about delivering, in their words, an exciting and innovative mentor training program to corporate clients. So with staff retention and employee engagement being more of a concern for more businesses, particularly in the current economy where we've got, you know, full employment, for example, they provide something called a flagship impact program. To kind of help businesses retain staff ultimately by mentoring them through that whole kind of business journey. Mm. So they've been recognised with this prestigious award. And in fact, I bumped into Keith on last Thursday at the LinkedIn local event at the Great Danes Hotel. And I have to say, he wasn't actually wearing a tracksuit.
Was he not?
And he didn't have a football with him either.
Blimey.
So clearly it's had a, you know, the kind of that side of business has had a big impact on Keith and we wish them continued success. But it's great to have that recognition for a job well done.
Yeah, fantastic. Huge congratulations to them. Very well done. Very well recognised. Something that they've launched very recently and is already, as you say, having a really positive impact. Good stuff. The Venues and Events Expo Southeast at the Kent Events Centre. This is the second running. It was launched last year, and this year's event is taking place on Thursday the 9th of May. 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's a one-day exhibition for event professionals, venue finders, PAs and VAs, and business owners who want to connect with the amazing venues and great suppliers for events. Whether you're organising a business event, a meeting, a seminar, conference, a workshop, team building, or a corporate party, you will find everything you need in one place. We have a variety of talks from industry experts covering mental health and well-being, sustainability, social media, speakers, event technology, plus some fun and informative workshops. With over 100 venues represented and event suppliers from the southeast to meet, the Venues and Events Expo will give you the inspiration and means to create and organize the meeting or event you desire. If you're a venue or supplier to the events industry who doesn't want to miss the opportunity to showcase your brand to hundreds of key buyers and event creators, meeting them face to face, you can find out more details about our exhibition packages. Or you can attend the event as an attendee completely free of charge. But to find out more and to book your place as an exhibitor, venueseventsexpo.co.uk.
Brilliant. I think we're fast running out of time.
We are. We've got two guests to talk to. We've got hundreds of things to talk of, and we've only got 40 minutes left.
So better get another guest on.
Shall we talk to our next guest? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the first time, although to get in front of Martin, KCC have been on 100 times before, but Rachel has not. Rachel hasn't, and we're very pleased to see Rachel. It's Rachel Bennett from Kent County Council, but mm-hmm. Rachel, you're actually running the programme, which is the South East Business Boost
programme. So I work in the business investment team of Kent County Council, and I specifically work on a programme called the South East Business Boost. South East Business Boost is a grant scheme, so effectively free money. People don't have to pay it back. That is available to small businesses within Kent. You can get up to £10,000. It's all about growth. So basically, if your business is looking to grow, you need to apply, because you've got to apply before you buy.
Right.
You've got to be approved after you've applied before you buy. But as long as you apply and you get approved and then you buy, you can get 30% of what you buy back.
Fantastic.
Very well put.
That was good. Without breathing. Yeah, fantastic.
Shall we just kind of delve into if you're looking to grow? Because, we were having that discussion before we came on air.
Yep.
That might be something as simple as I need a new vehicle in my business in order that we can kind of divide and conquer when it comes to running jobs.
Yep, been worth turning up here today. Rob's already going to apply for a new van because he wants his business to grow. So that's good.
Yeah. So not to be confused with, you need to write a massive business strategy document in order to justify a business growth strategy, which you may or may not get some funding for.
No, obviously you need to have a bit of rationale behind your application, and you need to show how what you want to purchase will enable you to achieve the growth. Mm. The growth is all about enabling the growth. Mm. It's not about if you've already grown, helping you facilitate that growth, if that makes sense.
Okay, get it, yep.
So it is all about enabling growth. So, for
example, it's taking it to the next level.
Yeah. If I can pick on Rob, do you mind?
Thank you very much. Yeah.
So, with using Rob as an example in the conversation that we had earlier, for Rob's business to grow, if he actually gets another van, then he'll be able to split his cleaning team into two, and therefore he'll be able to take on twice as much work.
Yeah.
If he takes on twice as much work, he effectively gets twice as much money. Therefore, the grant would support his vehicle because that would enable him as a business to grow.
Fantastic.
Let's give some other examples.
Sounds easy, doesn't it? Yeah.
That's one good example.
It's a perfect example as well, though, because it's a practical example for most small businesses.
Yeah.
Because without being rude, one of the problems with a lot of government-backed schemes is they can be reasonably complex and they can put people off because small businesses get put off because they don't really understand what is meant by what's to happen.
Relevance.
And also, in the past, there's been schemes offering money offering huge amounts of money, and people go, I only need a new van.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, you can make this really complicated. We do, as part of the due diligence process, need three quotes for everything that you want to buy.
Yeah.
So if you want to buy lots of little things from lots of different people, then you're effectively going to get lots of quotes.
Right.
But if you want a van and you get three quotes for three alternative bands, then that is it, job done. So it's as complicated as what you choose to make it.
Yeah, that's an interesting point as well, isn't it? Because it doesn't have to be a single item.
Nope.
You could actually say, okay, I need to invest money in three or four different things or areas.
Yep.
And you can kind of pull all of that as one application.
Yeah, a business is only allowed to apply once. So what you need to do is put everything that you're potentially looking to buy on the one application.
And regardless of whether you then actually spend that money or not, I mean, that's, you know, you don't then have, you're not held to account. I mean, obviously, to get the grant, you obviously, you know, to get the grant, you need to have spent the money. But the point is, you can apply for the grant and then decide that I'm not going to spend the money, and that's fine. That's your decision.
You can, you absolutely can. I wouldn't encourage that, because that'd be a waste of my time taking you through the grant process. Thank you very much.
No, but business has changed, so you can never be 100%. No,
he's in one of those moods today, isn't he? Yeah. He's being controversial for the sake of it today.
You can apply and then tell us you've changed your mind. Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. And we have had companies do that. So, you know, we are trying to give you free money. If you don't want it, then that is,
I mean, Martin has a valid point. From what we were talking about earlier, we live in times that are very confusing at the moment.
Yeah,
and sometimes you might start off on the process thinking you're going to grow, and then something happens and you think, blimey, I need to consolidate, not grow.
Absolutely.
But what the message I'm getting here, that I think we need to be very clear about in terms of growth, is this is for capital requirements. So if I'm going to grow and I need to rent more premises, can I get a loan for that?
Renting isn't eligible. Yeah. Staffing costs isn't eligible, because without them you've not got a business, so there's nothing to grow. Would be the rationale behind that. But for example, if you were looking at making changes to a space within your existing premises, it doesn't have to be a capital asset purchase. What it can be is a services type purchase, a revenue purchase. So you can employ a builder to do building works if you can demonstrate again why those building works will lead to growth. So
what I had in mind is, you know, I'm a printer and I think I can generate more work, but I need to buy another offset LIFO printer.
Yep.
But absolutely. I need to put it somewhere as well.
Yes. Yep. So if you need to, so if you were in catering, for example, and you wanted to convert an existing room into something that was past all your food, I don't know enough about it, but food safety, hygiene,
a food preparation area or something,
then effectively you could use the grant funding to help you do that, because what you're doing is converting a space to enable you to actually grow and deliver more business.
Fantastic.
But it's not just capital expenditure, though, Paul. It could be marketing consultancy, for example.
Okay.
So it could be services as well.
Yeah, so as we just said, so the building services is one element of it. Marketing consultancy, if you're looking at employing somebody to specifically give you a marketing plan to help you identify new routes to market, for example, then yes, theoretically that would also be eligible. The only thing I would say is that the services side of things is limited slightly more, in that it's not a maximum of £10,000 that you can get. It's still the 30% principle, but it's limited to just shy of £7,500.
Okay. Let's just focus on this, because this is an important point of it as well. If I apply for a grant from this...
Yeah.
Of £10,000 to buy something, and
so you'd be looking at spending £33,000 plus,
right,
to get a £10,000 grant.
Absolutely. So I'd need to spend. So I've got to buy something, a machine that's going to cost me £35,000.
Yep.
I buy the machine.
You do,
and then I get the £10,000 back.
As long as you've gone through the application process,
as long as it's all passing. The point I'm trying to make is I've got to find £35,000 up front.
You have.
Yeah. Not £25,000, because I'm going to get a grant. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry. I'm just I keep reiterating this apply before you buy thing, yeah. because what I don't want is businesses to get disappointed and buy something and then try to get 30% back because you can't. You have got to go through
but
the approval
once you've
process.
Got
first.
The grant approval,
yes.
you know that you're spending £35,000,
yes.
of which you're going to get £10,000 back.
Yes.
And what's the kind of what's the time frame there, Rachel, in terms of I've gone out and I've spent the £35,000 based on the fact that I'm going to get a £10,000 grant. How quickly will I get the £10,000 back from you?
It depends.
Well, I was going to say it all depends when the mediation's finished.
And your legal costs.
Yeah.
It really depends on how quick you act.
Right.
So you get the approval, you then spend the money effectively from the date that you get the approval. Mm-hmm. You then submit your claim, and then within 2 weeks you've got that money paid
right.
back
so
to
within
you.
Two
so
weeks.
The onus is on you to actually do the paperwork and send the claim in.
Yeah. Fantastic. And
presumably there's some kind of receipt that accompanies that, is there?
Like a
bill of sale or something to evidence that I've spent the money or...
Oh, so yes, after you've... the audit trail, if you like, is that as part of the application process, you need to provide a quote. Once you've been approved, you then show us the invoice from the business that you're going to pay. We then look for a screenshot online banking to show that the deduction has gone from your business bank account
right.
to pay and marries up with the invoice that you've submitted.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we make the payment back into your business bank account. Okay.
Fantastic.
So you've also got to have a business bank account. Just because that's also
because that's not always as easy as anything these days either, is it?
So we need to pay you back into a business bank account.
Okay, cool.
But let's give some other examples because we've very really only focused on two. You had a guest on recently, the Milky Tea Company.
Yeah, yeah.
Who manufacture breastfeeding T-shirts?
Yep.
And they had a grant to help them with an e-commerce website development, for example.
Yep.
So, you know, that's relevant. We've had photographic companies that have used it
coffee
for
shops.
Photographic equipment. We've had Garage Roasted based in Fruitworks in Canterbury who've used it for a new coffee roasting machine.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't be kind of... Don't think kind of too narrowly in terms of it's not relevant for my business.
Well, this is one of the things I like about the scheme, as opposed to some of the other schemes that went in the past. These are practical things that small businesses need to buy to grow.
And
that's why it's so beneficial to do this, because it's in a response. I was involved with Jackie Ward and people like that over the past years, looking at the various schemes that both the government and KCC offered for growing businesses. And there was a point a few years ago when businesses weren't applying for the funds and they were trying to understand why. And it's because it was too complicated and wasn't aimed at what people wanted.
Mm.
You know, to grow a small business, you don't need £1 million.
No.
Yeah, it's lovely if you can, but that's not what you need. You need a new van, or you need a new printing machine, or you need a new cooker.
Practical stuff.
Practical, everyday stuff that will genuinely help you grow your business, take it to the next stage. That's one of the massive benefits of this particular scheme. Rachel, how long is the scheme going to be valid? Do we know?
We don't know. So there is a pot of money, and when that pot of money has been allocated to the applicants, it will end.
Right, okay.
And then we'll go on a waiting list, and then it will be recycled funds. So if people like Martin don't spend the money that they've been approved for, it then gets taken back. And reallocated.
Okay. Would there be did you get these funds from the LEP? Are they handed out by the LEP?
Yeah, so it's CELEP fund. EU funds via CELEP.
Right,
via
which is the Southeast Local Enterprise Partnership. Okay.
So it's part of the reason why our divorce bill is going to be so big, because it is European Regional Development Fund money, ultimately.
Yep. Okay.
So we've paid for it, so we might as well use it.
Which they got from us in the first
place. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it all goes round in circles, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
A bit too political.
Yeah.
Political.
We won't ask you anything about that. Is there a point where you've allocated all of these funds and you have the opportunity to go back to the Southeast LEP and bid for more funds?
Yes, absolutely. I believe that there are discussions about a second fund happening.
Yep.
So yes, that there is still money within Celeb, even though Brexit is looming. Yeah. I think that they work a couple of years
absolutely.
Ahead.
Yeah,
there's a couple of things I think we should mention. Mm. The initial step, if I'm right in thinking, Rachel, is an eligibility questionnaire.
Yeah, so there's three stages to the actual application process, and these are in place because what we don't want to do is waste people's time. So the first stage that we've got is an eligibility questionnaire that qualifies the business. There are certain sectors that aren't eligible, so we don't want those businesses to waste time even talking about what project they actually want to spend the money on. So they're weeded out at the very first instance. The second stage.
Well, one example of that, I mean, it's you know, I think the excluded businesses are few and far between, as they invariably are. If you have anything to do with pornography or firearms, obviously you're going to be excluded. But I think what's more important to note there is, for example, you might be based in Kent, but actually you might be in a London borough, and that would exclude you, for example.
Yes, this is within KCC territory, so yeah. London boroughs.
Does that count for Medway as well?
No, it's KCC and Medway. Thank apologies.
You. No, that's all right. No. It's only you lot that worry about that. Everybody else knows they live in Kent. It's only the public sector that thinks Medway's a different place. Yeah.
Yeah, so Kent and Medway are fine for this.
Fantastic.
So then, moving on to the support assessment plan, which is the second stage, that's what qualifies the project, so we can tweak the support assessment stage as many times as we like, and then once you're happy with the support assessment plan, make sure that you've got all the things that you could want to purchase on that. You then progress to the grant application stage, which is the document that then goes to the virtual panel that sits every couple of weeks and gets you a yay or a nay.
And am I right in thinking that the kind of the scope of support at stage two, once that then goes through to full application, that, you know, you're going to be approved, and it's stage two is the important thing to get right? Is that kind of how it works? Or
I'm sure that you could still get declined at grant application stage. I don't think I've ever seen it, and no. I've been in the role for about 10 months now. Yeah. So the idea of the support assessment is that, yes, absolutely, you get that right. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing about the support assessment plan is if you put the time in to actually get it right, it becomes a copy and paste job when it comes to the actual grant application.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the reason I mentioned eligibility questionnaire is because, as has just happened recently with Locase was a very popular low-carbon southeast grant funding initiative for things like LED lighting conversion, for example. It's now closed to new applications. Mm. But any applications that have gone through that initial eligibility stage, for example, as in the case of SEB, would be part of the live applications that therefore would still be eligible to apply for the grant.
Yeah, I think that you've got to be at full application to go into the waiting list. So Locase are at the recycled fund stage that I just mentioned.
Okay. So in other words, you know, get this eligibility questionnaire in, because it's very much the kind of the first step, and then the timing is kind of more down to you.
Yeah. With Southeast Business Boost, we're not as far down the process as what Locase are. So I would expect that if a business has an eligibility questionnaire in, when it starts to draw to a close, they would be given the notice to enable them to complete the next two steps to then make sure they're in the mix to get
that. Fantastic. Place. We're fast running out of time. Thank you so much for that, Rachel. If people want to find out more about the scheme, what's the best place to do?
So there is an email address of SEB, S-E-B-B, Southeast Business Boost, but just the initials, at kent.gov.uk, or they can Twitter handle hashtag SE Business Boost, or there is an sebusinessboost.org.uk website.
Fantastic, Rachel. Thank you so much for that. If you didn't get to write that down, if you go to the Kent Business Radio website, there is a link to the SEBB website on the homepage there, and it will stay there forever. For the moment, Rachel, thank you so much.
Thanks.
We're fast running out of time. We've got another guest to talk to. We've got loads of emails and tweets and stuff to carry with us. I want to tell you about something that's happening fairly soon. On the 22nd of March is a Grow Conference. It's a Grow West Kent. And you're going to take away valuable techniques to make your business grow. It's taking place at the Mercure Dartford Brands Hatch Hotel, and it's in association with the West Kent Partnership. That's the Grow Kent Conference for West Kent, and it's on the 22nd of March at the Mercure Dartford Brands Hatch Hotel. If you want to find out more about it or book your place, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and click on the business events tab.
Quick shout out for BBN Networking, Gareth, myself, Rob. We're all kind of regulars at Brian's BN on the Twitter.
Which one's this? At Dartford?
No, Maidstone and Dartford, and some of us even go to Bromley as well on occasion. So those are the three kind of venues. But this week it's Maidstone, I believe, isn't it? This Friday?
Yeah, Maidstone on Friday, yeah.
Yeah, so look forward to seeing everybody at that. There might be one or two places still available, so if you tweet Brian at Brian's BN, he might even be able to squeeze you in. But there's normally sort of 50 plus businesses in the room. There's quite a buzz, and it's kind of pay on the door. It's 16 quid on the door, so
fantastic,
can't go wrong.
Should we talk to our next guest?
Let's do it.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, for the very first time for sure, Mr. Rob Young from IEC Services. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
It's an absolute pleasure to see you. Why don't you kick off by telling us exactly what IEC does?
Well, we're a commercial cleaning company. My wife and I started the company in 2002.
Right.
And we're a family-run company. We do commercial cleaning. Our main business is regular cleaning contracts, yep. offices.
Yep.
We do golf clubs, sports centres, any commercial building, really.
Right, okay.
Deep cleans, carpet cleaning, window cleaning, everything that goes with it.
Okay, fine. And you started, what, 17 years ago?
Yeah.
And you're based in Kent?
Yeah, we're based in Rootham.
In Rootham?
Yeah.
Okay. Good job Jules isn't here, because she'd never pronounce that.
Rotham.
According to her, it's Rotham.
Rotham. Well, with my accent, people think I say Luton when I say it.
But yeah, right. Okay, you're a Geordie?
No, I'm originally Scottish, but I was brought up in Teesside.
Okay. Oh, that's a bit of a combination, so isn't it?
Live down south.
Right, okay. Yes. Cool. Anyway, we'll let you off of that.
thump him afterwards, Rob. Yeah.
So tell us about the range of things that you do. You're commercial cleaners, but you clean a range of different types of buildings. Give us a bit of a feel for the kind of things that you're doing.
Yeah, as I said, our main business is regular cleaning contracts, so all our cleaners are employed by us. They all have holidays, sick pay.
Right,
we don't there's no subcontractors or anything. We're all employed, all uniformed, etc.
Yeah.
So you know, some cleaners start at 4:30 in the morning.
Wow, okay.
And I've got cleaners that start work at 10 o'clock at night. Depends on the client's business, when they close.
I'm laughing, I have to tell you. I own a place in Canterbury, and we've been burgled quite a few times, so we've got loads of webcams and stuff like that, and I get alerts and things. I was at home one Saturday night, like gone midnight, and my phone pings, and I look at it, and it's a webcam alert. And I look at the webcam, and there's a bloke dancing down the middle of the floor, and it's a long floor. I think, who the hell's that? But Jamie, my son, was the facilities manager there, so I rang Jamie and I went, someone's broken in, and he went, no, that's the cleaner
dancing with his Henry Hoover.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So do you have dancing cleaners at all?
I've not seen any, no.
Well, that is a good point, you because you know, not very far from us is somebody that owns a business premises who employs a cleaning contractor to have those premises cleaned. And on more than one occasion, they've come in to find the premises haven't necessarily been cleaned to the standard that they would like. And we were talking sort of off air before we came on, Rob, about how you have a slightly different approach to that. Rather than just kind of commissioning cleaners to go in and do a job, you're actually a lot more hands-on than that in terms of the business owner seeing you and actually you being on site to kind of check that the job is being done, if that makes sense.
Yeah, how I work, and I made myself this pact a few years ago, and I've always kept up, no matter how big and successful we get, is I will clean every job first.
Right.
So every new job, I'll go in with a few cleaners and do initial deep clean.
Right.
And I'll be involved with that. Then the cleaner or cleaners that take over the premises, I'll clean with them for the first few weeks, so I know how long the job actually takes.
Yeah, exactly.
What areas we've got to spend longer on.
Yeah.
my office will do a schedule from that of the hours we're there, this area's got to concentrate on. The cleaners have that schedule. They sign that off, and that's the way we work. And I also, because we've got our clean contracts from, say, Beckenham into Maidstone, Bromley, Sevenoaks, Tunbridgewell, etc., I drop all the materials off every single job.
Right, okay.
So all the managers, owners of the premises see me as well. I'm also going in to check the cleaners, but I also see them during the day. I'm dropping the materials off, popping my head in, etc.
I like that, because what you're telling me is you've got a real insight. And this works for both sides of this equation as well. It's not just to the benefit of the customer. It's actually to the benefit of the cleaners as well. Yeah, because quite often, if you as an owner of a business don't know what they're facing, you can get the ump with them because they're not doing what you want and the client's moaning. But the parameters of what they're able to do don't fit within what you're trying to do. So by the fact that you've actually done it and know what it takes to actually clean that particular building, you've got a massive insight into both sides of it.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, it's only a small job of ours, tiny. We've taken the cleaner on through the 2P, which we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone knows what 2P is now, I think. Yeah. And so we've taken the cleaner on. It's a little village hall.
Did you say 2P or 2P?
What's the accent? Well,
I know what
he's definitely trying to wind everybody.
I know what
today,
a toupee is, because yes. Paul's fell off earlier on his way in here. But you're talking about something different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Transfer of onto public employees, isn't
right.
it?
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so in the clean industry, toupee is all the time. So we've taken this cleaner on. Obviously, they know the old cleaning company, and within toupee, either cleaning company's rubbish or the cleaner's rubbish.
Mm.
So, but that was 5:30 in the morning. I was jet washing their shower rooms just to get them up to scratch,
right?
Because they were absolutely disgusting, you know.
Right.
Didn't have to. Don't get paid for it, but that's what the cleaning job needed,
right?
Obviously, the cleaner sees me doing that as well. They're not just walking in, do this, do this. You know?
Yeah,
it's my interest. We're a family company, and I want to make sure the job's right.
Okay.
So I'm assuming the your fingerprint on your index finger on your right hand has been worn away through years of checking for dust on surfaces and things. Is that correct?
Well, it's not rocket science, is it?
Not really.
You go on the premises, you can see if it's dirty or not. Yeah. And what we try and do is put all those parameters in place for the schedules. The cleaner's got the schedule. The office got the schedule. The company have got our new schedule.
Mm.
And I say, we go in, get the place up to scratch, and we've got to keep it at the right level. And if it drops, it's up to IEC services.
And you've got a bit of a thing about golf clubs at the moment, haven't you? Because I know, is it Blackheath you do?
No, we do Chislehurst Golf
Chislehurst.
Club.
Chislehurst.
We're impressed. We're starting
Kings Hill.
We're starting Kings Hill in March.
Brilliant.
And we're looking to obviously pick more golf clubs up as well.
Cleaning all that grass is a bit of a pain, isn't it?
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
But try and get free golf out of it.
I can certainly talk firsthand about how demanding golf club members are when it comes to all things to do with their golf clubs. So showers, for example, locker rooms, all those kind of spaces, it's crucial to get it right. Because you'll just get it in the neck otherwise.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Good.
Cool. Presumably you're a golfer.
Yeah.
Which always helps.
I don't play as much as I want to.
Yeah. What made you target that as a business? You just saw it as a business opportunity?
Well, it's a commercial building, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And also within that, we supply the consumables, the toilet rolls, paper towels for...
I was going to ask about that. Ancillary services, yeah.
Yeah, so I would say we're a one-stop shop. And as I said, being a family company, I base everything on the relationship with clients. You know, my mobile is on 24/7. And get hold of me all the time, and I say I pop in, etc. And we also do maintenance. When we get to... I don't advertise, but when we get to know... Obviously, the premises, we've got the keys anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I said Sunday, our premises in Sevenoaks were fitting new fire doors, putting intermittent strips on. It's good.
And general kind of maintenance services.
Yeah, maintenance. We look after car parks. They get swept every month, weed killing, salt. With snow, we're there to put salt down.
So site maintenance rather than just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just but the main business is obviously cleaning, but then it all evolves because the client trusts you.
Yeah. I want to take Rob back a little bit because I know that you used to be in the army.
Yeah.
And you were a trooper in the...
Air trooper.
first Iraq war.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that that background and that kind of that discipline and that training has given you the kind of the some of the kind of the necessary skills to be successful in business? I mean, do you often look back and think, God, thank God I did that as a young man because it gave me a work ethic or it gave me a something. Do you think that training has come in useful?
I think, rightly or wrongly, is that every 16-year-old should spend time in the services for just about 2 years. And we were talking about university to my daughter, Finn's gone to university, and my son, Mac, he's nearly 16, so he's doesn't know what to do for his A-levels yet. Does he go to uni? Do we do apprenticeship? So we're obviously within a family talking about that.
Sure.
But you don't really, I didn't know what I wanted to do. No. I was in the para cadets and Northerner working class, or go in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. And I think it's a very good background. It's discipline, even things like teaching you how to shave and be smart, your shoes polished.
And iron your shirt. Yeah.
See, with a cleaning company, I don't know the attention to detail, you know. I notice every single thing.
Yeah.
Like the dust on those plug things. I've been sat there looking at that, you know.
Because employers today are talking much more, aren't they, in terms of soft skills.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of that kind of falls into that, I would imagine,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I've done a lot in the past. I had jobs in Kenya, so a recruitment portal. And I've done a lot of work in the past with the services rehousing, you know, coming out of the services into civilian life. And the vast majority of service personnel are highly employable. For all kinds of reasons. One, they have skills, they have discipline, they have loyalty, they turn up when they say they're going to turn up, and they tend to look smart. And you can't argue with that. Those entire skill sets are incredibly valuable. I used to have a guy that used to work for me that was a former Royal Marine, and we used to go on client visits. And before we go out, he'd go, come here. I go, what? He go, take your shirt off. And what? I'm going to iron your shirt before we go out because you're not coming out with me looking like that. Your shirt's creased. And he would iron my shirt before we go out. But anyway, yeah.
So bring back national service is what we're talking about. Yeah.
Well, is it right? I don't know.
But, is that the right word? Yeah. Maybe not.
But I don't know. I think it stands any good man or woman, young man or woman, in good stead, you know, for life. Yeah. You don't know what you want to do at 16, 17, 18.
Absolutely. Maybe. I'm 64. I still haven't got a clue what I want to do.
So you're a good man to know in a crisis then, Rob?
Well, my mobile's always on.
Great. Brilliant.
So a lot of people don't think about this when you talk about cleaning services and facilities management. They don't think about the hours because we don't see you. Yeah. Quite often.
Cleaners aren't meant to be invisible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, cleaners aren't people that we see. We go home and then you come to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't always think about it and the long hours that you do and the times of day that you do it. So it's a hard job, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not easy. But as I said, it's if you have all your schedules in place and cleaning is about supervision, probably in any business as well. I know my cleaning business. You can't leave cleaners up to their own devices.
Yeah.
They've got to be supervised.
Yeah, yeah.
Or that schedule won't be a schedule anymore. It'll be the cleaner's own schedule.
Yeah, yeah. They've cut corners. Yeah,
yeah, of course. It's human nature, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
They've got to be, cleaners have got to be supervised.
Yeah, cool. So you're going to go and you're going to get a grant for a new van.
Yep.
You're going to expand. Yeah.
Well, we're growing and. It's looking for, that's why I'm here, looking for a new business, you know.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be talking to you about that, and I'm sure other people will. In order for them to do that, they need to be able to find you. So what's the best way of getting hold of you if they want to talk to you about your services?
They can look at our website, which is iecservicesltd.co.uk, and that shows everything that we do from regular cleaning, carpet cleaning, etc. And our email, admin@iecservicesltd.co.uk.
Fantastic. There is a link to the website for IEC on the Kent Business Radio website. That will stay there forever. For the moment, Rob, thank you so much
for
that.
Thanks very much for having me.
Really pleasure to talk to you and keep on keeping on.
Thanks, Rob.
And we're fast approaching the end of the show. We've got
Slope Off Friday on Friday. We haven't even mentioned Slope Off Friday. How could we possibly not mention Slope Off Friday?
Oh, no. I'll tell you how we could, because Jules
isn't here and she's not tweeting.
And she tweeted it, but she didn't tweet it with a hashtag or to me.
Oh, Jules, you naughty. Well, I'll mention it anyway. Yeah. So for the uninitiated, Slope Off Friday is a is a networking event with a difference, shall we say.
It's a reprobate drinking fest is what it is.
It takes place on the first Friday of each month, and this week it's actually at the Corner House in Canterbury, which is a lovely restaurant in the city centre. If you would like to pop along, I'm sure they could squeeze you in last minute, at Jules Serkin on the Twitter or at Acasio, O-C-C-A-S-I-O, Carp. On the Twitter. So talk to Debs or Jules and I'm sure they could fit you in.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I want to tell you about the Tech Expo UK, which is taking place later in the year at the Clive Empson Suite at the Kent Events Centre. That's at the Agricultural Ground on Detling Hill. And it's taking place on Thursday the 26th of September from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's the first ever event of its kind in the southeast of England, a full-day exhibition for business owners wanting to connect with suppliers who can help them run, build and grow their business with the power of technology. So it's all about technology. There's over 100 suppliers from different sectors of technology, including IT support, cyber security, software, digital marketing, online accountancy, and a whole range of other things. There are a lot of speakers. There are five fantastic speakers. There's Brian Sutton from Microsoft, Richard Bell of cyber security, Ben Abbott of Voice, Will Charlesworth of Digital Law, and Dale Carnegie will be running sessions on being human in a digital world. There's also four interactive workshops. Registration will open soon. Exhibition space is still available. If you want to find out anything about this, go to their website, which is techexpouk.com. techexpouk.com. So do check that out.
It's business awards time again.
It is.
So we've got three sets of business awards coming up in quick-fire succession. But the first one is the Canterbury Business Awards.
Yes, in a couple of weeks.
Which are taking place at the fabulous, and it is beautiful, and they've got lovely golf courses as well, Rob, Broome Park Hotel, just outside Canterbury. So it's on Thursday the 14th of March. I haven't got a link here, Paul, for businesses on how to apply.
You can't apply for the awards anymore because the awards have shut.
Ah.
So now it's because the awards are now being assessed, but the dinner, the awards dinner is on the 14th of March. You can go to that if you want. And the best way of finding out about that is to go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/ or look at the tab for business events and it's there.
In which case, it might be more relevant to talk about the Maidstone Business Awards. Yep. They are presumably still open.
They are indeed, yeah.
And the gala dinner for that is Thursday the 27th of June at the Mercure Great Danes Hotel, which we all know and love so well. So presumably there is a link on the Business Bunker website.
Again, if you go to that, if you go to the Business Events link on the Business Bunker website, they're all listed there. You click through and it tells you all the details, how to apply, all the categories and everything that goes with it.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. I want to tell you about an event that I'm involved with in March, which is the Kent Supported Employment event. It's an employability event. It's taking place at County Hall on the 20th of March between 9:30 and 1 p.m. And we're doing this in conjunction with the Kent Supported Employment team from KCC and the education people. You're invited to find out about businesses in Kent that are benefiting from the pool of talent of people with autism and sensory disabilities. Hear from forerunners in the business on their experiences of employing people with autism or sensory impairment, how it can benefit you, and how Kent Supported Employment can support you to become a more inclusive employer. There'll be presentations from Microsoft, the education people, Ronnie Wilson MBE from First Step Trust, myself, Paul Andrews from Jobs in Kent, and from people who have a disability who are in employment, talking about their experiences of being employed and what it's done to help improve their lives. It's a fantastic event. We've run it for a couple of years running now. This is the third time we've run it. It's entirely free and you get lunch thrown in. So what's not to like? Come along and hear. You don't have to sign up to anything. You don't have to agree to anything. Just come along and hear the stories. It's a really fascinating thing. You'll be fascinated by this. The very first one we ran 2 years ago, a lady that runs a cleaning company in Tenterton called Twilight Cleaning came along. She was so taken with it, she employed two people with disabilities, supported needs, and they still work for her. And in the second year of employment, they both won National Customer Service Awards.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is absolutely brilliant. So do come along. It's on the 20th of March at County Hall. If you want to just let people know that you're coming, if you can email thomas.lovell@theeducationpeople.org.
Time for a quick tweet.
A quick one.
New appointments group. just coming back to us saying, thanks for the excellent shout out, guys. Loving the show. Keep on keeping on.
Absolutely. I need to make you aware of our sister show, the Business Bunker Extra Show, which is happening on Friday at 11 a.m, presented by the lovely Amanda Flanders. And this week, her co-host is Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and their guest is the lovely Tabitha Beasley, the marketing assistant. So do check that out. The Business Bunker Extra Show this Friday, 11 a.m, for another fantastic show there. But we've kind of reached the end of our show today.
Already?
It's gone really quickly, hasn't it?
It has gone quickly.
I want to say a huge thank you to our three guests. Mr. Gareth Scott of SNS Law, the lovely Rachel Bennett from KCC Southeast Business Boost, and Mr. Rob Young from IEC Services. Thank you so much for being on the
show.
Thank
you so much.
Well done, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, pleasure having you. Big thank you to Mr. Marvellous Boy White.
Boy?
Yeah.
Golf Shark.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah. Nice to be here.
And do support Martin in his fundraising for his walk to base camp from Kathmandu. Yeah,
but not from Thanet, though.
But he's not walking all the way from Thanet. Yeah. Mind you, if he keeps losing weight at the way he is, he might actually do that.
Are you saying I'm looking slimmer?
Yeah.
You devil, you.
I know. Yeah. I'm being nice to you, aren't I? Yeah. I don't know why.
Why is that?
I know, because it's the end of the show.
It's because my sponsorship's up for renewal next month.
Oh, it is as well. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for contributing. Thank you for your emails and tweets. We'll be back with another Business Bunker show next Tuesday. But in the meantime, have a fantastic week. We will see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye, everyone.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.